Today we're talking trash. No, I really mean it. Through the case of Michael Higa and Wagdy Gurgis, a case we're calling From Garbage Man to Jailbird, his career took a trashy turn and he took his CPA with him. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Tax Crime Junkies. I'm your host, Dominique. I'm a CPA, certified tax strategist. I have an interest in true crimes, and I have a degree in law and lead the American Institute of Certified Tax Planners. And with me today is my oh-so-lovable co-host, Tom Gorzinski.
Hi, Dom. I'm Tom Gorzinski. I'm an enrolled agent. I'm licensed to practice before the United States Tax Court, and I'm also a tax instructor. Like you, I have a real interest in true crime.
That's right. So we decided to create a true crime podcast to combine our love of mysteries and whodunits. So we are the Tax Crime Junkies. Are you excited to get into this one?
This case really stinks, Dominique, and not just because the client took his CPA right down with him. It's a great lesson in just how far one employee will go to prove his loyalty. Now, loyalty is great, but following orders blindly can lead to unintended consequences and put people in difficult and dangerous situations. It's important to think critically, assess risks, and weigh options before acting. Let's explore more and unpack the many cases filed against him.
Good point. And it should be said, I've yet to come across an ethical requirement or best practice that says as a tax accountant, you must do everything your client or employer tells you. In fact, isn't it just the opposite? So we're going to talk about that today, too.
When IRS special agents identified a suspicious thread of incorrect and missing employee tax returns at a business operating out of Hawaii, they knew they needed to look a little closer. That thread ended up unraveling a scheme which had defrauded the Treasury of more than $2 million over a period of more than 12 years. But it wasn't just one person responsible. The government's position was that it was a decades-long conspiracy between two men who thought through their web of business entities, edited books, and money shifting, they would be able to cover their tracks. This is a story about a CPA who wanted to climb the corporate ladder, a ladder that led directly to the slammer, and how following orders as a CPA can harm your career and land you squarely in prison next to your boss.
Hopefully you like your boss. So Tom, I got a question for you. Where does all the garbage go when you live on a small island? Have you ever thought about that?
You know, I really haven't. You know, it's kind of out of sight, out of mind. But I was surprised to find out that exotic islands are drowning in waste. And one man in Hawaii came up with the answer to getting rid of waste on Guam and turn it into power. And he eventually scored the only contract to take care of it.
That's right. So GMP Associates was a Hawaii-based company owned by Wagdy Gurgis. And this company provided consulting services and engineering consulting services to government agencies and to private parties who were looking to get engineering or architecture contracts. So Wagdy had owned the business since the 1970s, and he'd grown it from a one-man operation to employing between 30 and 40 people, and that includes his controller. His controller is a CPA by the name of Michael Higa. And naturally, when you got employees, Tom, you are required to pay employment taxes, and this business was no different. So they had a filing requirement in 1999. Now, Wagdy also operated various other businesses in the engineering field, one of which was based in the Federated States of Micronesia. Now, let's go back to that garbage man business, Tom. because it was Wagdy Gurgis that had this ingenious idea of turning island waste into energy. So along with running his own business, Wagdy was also the president and managing director of Guam Resource Recovery Partners. That's also known as GRRP. And that company's main industry was in trash incineration. So at the time Wagdy was president, GRRP was attempting to become the first and only contractor allowed to incinerate trash on the island of Guam, despite the fact that there was a local law prohibiting waste to energy facilities. So it was interesting that the company had received an exclusive license in 1996 to build a facility which would take the burned trash and turn it into electricity, and that contract would have been worth millions of dollars. But to this day, the government of Guam has failed to honor the agreement.
So I looked it up, Dom, and Guam is roughly the size of Chicago in land size, but it has only 1/16th of the population. Can you imagine there would be so much more free space than Chicago? So while the trash business was getting worked out, Wagdy contracted to the Guam government under the GMP Associates umbrella on various other projects. And he had it all going for him. A number of successful business operations, executive roles in other organizations, and a solid reputation. But all of that would come crashing down when Wagdy and his CPA were charged by the IRS with conspiracy.
So let's put together a timeline of what went down to turn Wagdy from a successful businessman into a white-collar criminal. In the first instance, as we've already mentioned, Wagdy failed to file employee tax returns starting from the year when GMP was required to file, which was 1999. So first employees there, now you've got a filing requirement for payroll taxes. And of course, most of us know that employers are required to withhold taxes when an employee is going to get their wages. However, the business records indicated that the companies were not paying the appropriate amount of taxes on their employees' income, and that resulted in building and growing tax obligations. What they were doing instead was taking the right amount from the employee, but they were failing to actually turn it over and pay it to the IRS.
And that's a huge no-no, Dominique. And we call these trust fund tax issues in the business. Why? Because the employer holds the taxes in trust for the employee and remits them to the government on their behalf. Not only is it like stealing from the government, but it's actually stealing from their own employees. You're taking money out of their earnings and putting it to use in your business in other ways instead of remitting it to the government where it belongs.
That's right. So initially, the IRS's suspicion of the activity was pretty low key. In 2002, though, they sent a letter reminding GMP that there were outstanding employee tax returns, which were due, and they ordered immediate payment. By that time, the amount outstanding was around $800,000. But, and this is where it's a stiff penalty, the IRS also notified Wagdy and GMP that an $812,000 penalty had been applied, which would be cleared if the outstanding taxes were paid. So as you said, Tom, the trust fund recovery penalties, they're some of the most severe financial penalties that exist because, as you said, not only are you betraying your obligation to the government, but you're breaching your fiduciary duty to your employees when you spend their money instead of sending it in. You're just holding on to their money in trust until you send it into the taxing authorities. And those penalties can add up fast. In this case, you can see it's equal to the amount of taxes that were unpaid. And this is one of those areas of law where if you don't pay, you can be put into prison. There are also some pretty steep penalties, as we'll see, for those involved. And so this responsibility can extend beyond just the owners of the company and apply to other people as well.
That's right, Dominique. The whole goal of the trust fund recovery penalty is that the IRS identifies individuals who were responsible for paying over the taxes, but then willfully failed to do so. So they make all the individuals possible liable for the unpaid trust fund taxes through the trust fund recovery penalty. This could be owners, CEOs, directors, employees, outside accountants, administrators, bookkeepers, even the board of trustees of a nonprofit. And by holding them responsible, it increases the chance that the IRS will recover the funds that were taken from employee paychecks and not paid over to the government as they should have been.
Yikes. This is where I come in and say, be very careful about which responsibilities you take on as a tax accountant. That was a long list, Tom, and what perked my ears were titles like bookkeepers, third-party payroll providers, outside accountants. Your mere awareness that the company is spending employee tax money can put your own assets and livelihood on the line. And you'd think that scare penalty would be enough, Tom, but over the following years, no payment came, and the IRS decided there was cause to look a little closer. It was only when they began their investigation that the IRS found out that on top of the missing payroll taxes, the company had failed to file corporate tax returns, and when they did file, they were more than $1 million short. So, Tom, you tell me, do you think it's possible that the controller, CFO Michael Higa, who's a CPA, do you think he was unaware that the company was not filing or paying payroll or income tax returns?
I think it would be as difficult to not know that as it would be to not see the nose on my own face. But I suppose if I was really avoiding looking at myself, I might get away with it. But the IRS was looking. And the closer they looked at GMP, the more they found that things just did not add up. They quickly realized that rather than making any attempt to pay the outstanding taxes or the penalties that were personally imposed, Wadi had instead come up with a new plan to avoid paying his tax debts. And in 2003, he filed a co-conspirator, Michael Higa. This was long before the IRS investigation began, but certainly after Wagdy had become well-versed in dodging his taxes.
There it is. Let's have somebody else do the dirty work for us. Then our hands won't be as dirty, right? Enter Michael Higa, CPA. So Michael ran his own accounting firm, and in his online bio, he describes himself as a reliable and trustworthy CPA who could help businesses with their taxes in Hawaii. I bet he can help them. Wagdy appointed Michael as the financial controller for GMP, and he also made him an officer of one of the business entities that Wagdy controlled. It all sounds innocent enough, but Michael would go on to become a key participant in the ploy to defraud the IRS. And so here's how it worked. The way that GMP Associates operated was that in order to secure government contracts, they have to go through this financial clearance process. And that's a standard that you're going to see in a lot of industries where the business wants to ensure that a contractor is going to be able to follow through on delivering the services that they're being paid to provide.
In fact, this is a great way to create accountability in our tax system. Because if someone owes taxes, it could easily prevent them from future operations of the business. And so it helps people generally stay in compliance.
You're right, Tom. And so this presented a problem for GMP because GMP has this huge payroll tax liability on its books. So if one of their clients initiated this tax clearance process, then they would find out about the tax debt of $1.6 million, and that would likely put them off from working with GMP and make them unlikely to proceed with hiring them for the contract.
Don't say it. Don't say it.
But I have to. It's what happened. To avoid this disclosure, Wagdy directed Michael to open a new business or businesses later on, which would enable GMP to continue to operate even with the tax debt hanging over them.
Oh boy. Now, you know, it's perfectly legal to own more than one business entity. I mean, myself, I own multiple business entities. But guys like this can make it seem shady. First, he opened up GMP Hawaii. Now, GMP Hawaii was exactly the same as GMP Associates. Same office, same employees, same clients. One big difference. GMP Hawaii didn't have any tax debt. So when a client did their due diligence to do a compliance check on them, they would come up clean. So they essentially ran the same, except Wagdy hadn't learned from his first round with the IRS, and once again he chose not to play by the rules. From day one, again, Wagdy took the taxes from his employees' wages, but did not remit it to the IRS. Instead, Michael moved the money around so it was accessible for Wadi's personal use. This time, the IRS caught on pretty quickly, and again, they sent demands for payment of the outstanding taxes along with additional penalties. Wagdy was in the corner again. Now, did he face the problem and deal with it? No, he did the whole thing again.
Yep, this time around, he set up GMP International. GMP International had the same office, the same employees, and the same clients. And it had the exact same problem with paying employment taxes. And when the IRS came knocking again, you guessed it, Wagdy set up another company. How many is this now, Tom?
Too many if you're being fraudulent like he was, Dom.
By this time, Wagdy had secured a deal for GMP entities to work on a contract with the Federated States of Micronesia. And this included a number of different countries or states of Micronesia. Problem is that Micronesia stopped paying their bills. And so the GMP entities' expenses were starting to really pile up, and they were losing money fast in payroll. So payroll is probably one of your biggest expenses in an engineering business, right? And any other expenses that are related to servicing the Micronesian contracts. And the Micronesian states didn't pay for over 3 years.
Wow. That's a pretty long time to continue operating a business, managing a business's cash flow, if you don't have money coming in to meet your basic expenses or to pay people.
Yeah, I can only imagine the stress on Wagby's shoulders. He was borrowing money everywhere that he could get it. In fact, he even borrowed money from Michael Higa.
He did indeed. Michael took out a second mortgage on his home and loaned Wagdy over $380,000 to help keep everything afloat.
That has got to be the craziest job description I've ever seen. Come work for us. You'll help me rob Peter to pay Paul, open new entities when necessary, and loan the company money by mortgaging your home. How much of this money did this guy make, Tom?
You think it's a lot, but here's the real story. It honestly doesn't appear that he made any money, Dominique. He simply passed on the interest he was being charged by his lender and kept no profit for himself.
Well, perhaps somewhere in that whack-a-mole game, Higa the CPA was getting paid. You don't just give that much money to your employer.
It sure doesn't make sense to me. I don't know.
But perhaps this does show the stress of the lack of cash flow.
I do suppose Michael Higa was the one who had to juggle the cash and try and stretch the bills.
Oof.
GMP Guam was the next subsidiary, and here we go again. By 2011, the three new companies owed more than $300,000 in unpaid employment taxes, on top of the $800,000 from GMP Associates, as well as the $800,000 plus trust fund recovery penalty. With the pressure mounting and the IRS now scrutinizing every move he made, Wadhi did what any good tax evader would do. He began to move the business's assets and money out of the companies. Maybe he realized that at some point the IRS would catch up with him. Whatever his reason, he tried to keep as much of the money and assets out of the reach of the IRS once the debt was called in.
Of course he did. I suppose Wagdy assumed that the IRS would come to take whatever was in the business names, and so he was careful to get stuff moved out. Move it out of the business name, move it somewhere else, and that way he could keep it and use money the way that he wanted to. So it was Michael's job, and Wagdy assigned this to Michael, to set up various nominee entities, which Wagdy could use to divert income from the different businesses that he had going and transfer things into his own personal accounts. And first up was Hawaii Pacific Finance. They had their banking there. And this time the business only had one thing in common with other GMP companies that Wagdy controlled. It had the same owner, Wagdy. So the problem with that is that having the same owner as GMP would mean that if the IRS ever came looking for Wagdy's money and they go to Hawaii Pacific Finance, then they're going to find out about fake companies and other companies that he had. So the pair decided to use the name of Wagdy's family members to make it look like they were the owners.
Ah, yes, the good old tax evasion go-to. Pull in the rest of your family into your tax evasion. What a great idea to move your money around. You don't want it to go anywhere you could actually lose it, right?
Right.
Michael also made it look like some of the employees from GMP were officers of the fake finance company. The employees were informed of being named in the company documents, but of course, they had no real knowledge of what that entailed. Now, as a CPA, Michael knew what he was doing was wrong, but he was already all in. In fact, he was both secretary and treasurer of Hawaii Pacific Finance. Now, once Hawaii Pacific Finance was all up and running, Michael began to transfer money out of the GMP businesses into the company accounts. When it was safely out of GMP, Wadhi would transfer the money into his personal account. Now, he thought he was in the free and clear of scrutiny from the IRS with this scheme. At one point, he was able to transfer $3 million out of Hawaii Pacific Finance into his own personal accounts. And of course, this income, in theory, should have been reported to the IRS.
But the scheme didn't end there.
No, it didn't. They also used this nominee entity to change the ownership of a condo owned by Hawaii Pacific Finance into the name of Wadhi's wife, Madda, using $250,000 from GMP, again, which had been funneled through Hawaii Pacific Finance. His wife supposedly bought the condominium and had the title issued in her name alone. Wagdy knew this would once again supposedly put it out of the reach of the IRS. but the IRS were already on to him, and they requested documentation related to this condo.
And what do you know? The transaction suddenly disappeared from the business record. And so they later found out that Wagdy and Michael had directed the company bookkeeper to change the record so that they showed no such transaction had taken place. And so the idea was that by transferring the condo to Wagdy's wife alone, they effectively placed its value outside of the business assets. And that then if and when the debt to the IRS was called in, it would be untouchable. All except for the fact that if Wagdy was found responsible for the payroll taxes and the trust fund recovery penalties, anything within his own personal assets could be seized to satisfy the debt, right?
Absolutely. And because this is such a serious matter to the IRS, it spent years sending letters to both Wagdy and various GMP entities regarding the outstanding taxes, all with no response. IRS agents attempted to speak to Wagdy personally, but their calls were never answered.
Wait a minute. Can you just hear it? Wagdy, it's for you. It's the IRS. Tell them I'm not here and I'll be back. Never. How's that?
It probably was some version of that. Now, understandably, these are trust fund taxes. These are serious matters. The IRS was growing frustrated and concerned about what was going on inside the companies, so they then approached the banks where the GMP companies had their accounts. So they attempted to have the accounts levied, which means that the funds in the accounts were diverted to the IRS rather than being accessible to the company for business use. But every time they did that, it was a shell game. Wagdy just simply set up a new company.
This sounds like whack-a-mole, with companies and bank accounts and the IRS chasing all over and trying to get what was owed. And it definitely seemed like he had the wherewithal to pay.
And to find out if they did pay, you're going to have to wait to find out what happened. Now, Dominique, let me give you a hint. It includes a lung transplant, fraud, and a disappearing condo. We will cover just what happened. Was there a prison sentence? And did Wadi take his CPA down with him? On part two.
Thank you so much, everyone, for listening. Take what you learned today and use the truths that hit home to transform the way that you do business. Tom and I are super grateful that you decided to join us today, and we hope you consider subscribing to the show and even sharing it with some friends who could use a Tax Crime Junkie podcast in their life. Help us spread the word and come back for more.
We hope you'll join us again next week as we wrap up our discussion on the Trash Man and continue our mission to find the loopholes that left close them for good. Until next time, remember, every crime has a trail that leads to the truth.